You're listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast. Here's your host, Adam Mares.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, part of the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Adam Mares from DenverStiffs.com, largest Denver Nuggets blog and community on the web. Check us out. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This is going to be a downer of an episode, guys, a bummer of a one. Denver really surprised me with how they came out in this one and how they played. I think there's actually some interesting observations. So rather than kind of lament some of the, you know, I don't usually recap the games. I try to provide notes because I just think that's more interesting. And rather than kind of lament some of the more obvious things, I'm gonna try to keep this to some of the more interesting points, and I think maybe even in some ways some of the more concerning points about the Nuggets that I take away from this game. So let's get right into it. I think one of the big overarching themes of the season has been point guard play, and in this game in particular, I think you look at it and you know, both guys played poorly, both guys, Moutier and Murray, and you know, this season so far, for the most part, one of them has kind of played well while the other one has been off. It's almost like they're alternating which guy kind of gets it going. And in this one, I thought both guys just were really, really bad. Jamal Murray, you know, he had a couple of really ugly turnovers. I mean, he finished with 6 turnovers, which is just, I mean, pretty high. But I think the bigger number for him, the Nuggets rely on his shooting so much more. I mean, really half of what he brings to the table for this team is 3-point shooting. And so when he has a night like tonight where he was 0 for 7, automatically, you know, you kind of figure that's half of what he's supposed to bring to the table. It's like it'd be like Jokic having a 0 rebound game or something like that. It's like no matter what he did, if he was just not rebounding and giving up rebounds, it would not be a good game. And I think for Murray, that's shooting, and he struggled with it so much this year. I don't know. I really don't wish I knew what it was about, but because I know that he's a good shooter. Some of it is actually, I know to a certain extent, some of it is that I think Jamal Murray needs to get some, when the offense gets moving better and whenever the offense in the half court finally gets rolling, I think he's going to get a lot more comfortable looks, not necessarily open, but just like more in rhythm looks. And I think a lot of his looks this year, and certainly a lot of his looks in this game, just have not been the type you kind of hope for. So I thought he had a really bad night, and he had a couple turnovers. I'll tell you what, both point guards, for whatever reason, do not know how to throw entry passes into the post. They both really struggle with that skill to a surprising level. I think Moutier more so than Murray, but Murray as well. And he had that really bad turnover. These are the types of turnovers you just can't have, where the first pass to initiate the offense gets picked away by I think CJ McCollum. So he had a bad one, and then Moutier, I think he followed up one of his best, you know, kind of stretches of the season where he was really playing well and really had a couple of together a couple of really nice games with what I thought was one of his, if not the worst performance of the year, and just some really costly mistakes, including a stretch in that first half where he turned the ball over quite a bit. He only finished with 3 on the stat sheet, but I think they credited as a missed shot one of what was actually a turnover where he went up at the rim, and I think he lost the ball before he actually got the shot off and it went out of bounds. So both guys being playing bad tonight and playing really, really bad, I think the Nuggets aren't going to win very many games when that happens. And I think part of that has to do with the way that they were able to pressure the ball. Portland, that is, was able to pressure the ball all across the court, not just I thought this was a game that Portland had 2 days off in between their last game and this game, and it looked like a team that was very, very, you know, over-prepared or very prepared for this game, because the scouting report, I just thought they did so many things that really disrupted what the Nuggets do, especially in the half court, and they just kind of seemed really on point. And I think that's why the Nuggets offense, I think that's like a small reason why the Nuggets offense was so awful in this game. So both point guards played bad, and I think that automatically kind of handicaps Denver on the offensive end. And then Millsap picking up his second foul, I thought really changed the game. There were some really weird calls in this game, and I mean, it's poorly officiated. I don't think that's why Denver lost, but it's of note that second actually rather that first foul that Millsap got, where it was where he blocked, got his fingertips on the shot. It was really a great defensive play by him, and gets called a foul. Him getting that second foul, I thought, changed the game. And Portland had kind of already started to grab a little bit of momentum at that point. But the rotation for Denver really got thrown out of whack. And already not having Gary Harris, I think, was already kind of making things kind of tight on in terms of how to rotate and how to manage the game for Malone. But once Millsap went out, I thought Denver's entire, you know, rotation, and it was really in a really bad spot. And Jokic ended up coming back in. I think he played 11 minutes in that first quarter. And it just threw things out of whack, I think, in that second quarter where it really caught up to the Nuggets. So, you know, some of that stuff is just, you know, Millsap's not going to get two fouls too often and be shorthanded the way the Nuggets were. But again, I don't think, to me, these aren't the more interesting things. These are more just kind of the details around the edges. Another note I had here, hardly any Plumlee minutes tonight. And maybe this just wasn't the matchup for him. It's strange that he was, you know, in a kind of a homecoming type of game to not really get much run. He had a really interesting comment in the pregame show on Altitude TV, interviewed by Ali Sturm. And she asked, oh, something to the effect of, you know, the rotations seem a lot more set. Do you guys seem to know their roles better and know what to expect? And that's like the type of question that even if you disagree as a player, you can just be like, yeah, you know, whatever. But instead he goes, no, not at all. We all kind of, and I don't buy this, by the way, for the team, but I do buy it for Plumlee because his minutes, I'm sure, are not what he wants or what he expected. But he said something like, yeah, we never know when we're going in or what we're supposed to do, so we all just kind of have to be ready for whatever coach throws at us. It was a really, like, I would be shocked if that wasn't a very deliberate sort of, you know, him wanting to put that out there. Just the way that it was said. If you have a chance to rewatch if you DVR'd the pregame show for whatever reason, you might want to go back and check that out, because that was really caught my attention. And, you know, I think, as I said, I don't really have problems with Malone's rotations this year for the most part. I do think for Kenneth Fried and Mason Plumlee, I'm not surprised that both guys are not happy, because those are the two guys whose minutes are the most inconsistent. I think everybody else, you know, you can predict the rotation more or less how it's going to go because it's been pretty consistent. But those two guys, that power forward position really in general, has been the one where Malone kind of tries to figure out the matchup and plays who is right. And tonight, to be fair, you know, one of the things Portland did was they really pressured the ball, especially with Jokic. When Jokic had the ball or when Millsap had the ball, they really put a lot of pressure. And Nurkic did a great job, I thought, of that, of disrupting what Jokic was trying to do, and also just kind of crowding his space and really bullying him. And I'm going to get to that more in detail. But what I thought was with Plumlee, they completely just didn't guard him. And he took two... They're the type of shots that when you look at them, you're just like, oh my God, but there's no chance that's going in. He had took two of those, and then he had a couple rim runs where he would, you know, get deep post position in transition. But, you know, Mason Plumlee's just not that guy. And Portland was doing such a good job of getting active hands in the passing lanes that it just wasn't working out. And it, not only was it not working out where Plumlee was getting easy buckets in transition off of rim runs and sealing his guy deep in the paint, but actually it was taking away from driving and cutting lanes in transition. I think Denver has to change their approach with Plumlee. I don't think he should be rim running. I just don't know what the value is of that. I wish there might be some kind of you know, advanced stats to kind of look at, you know, what type of shots they're getting when Plumlee is doing these types of rim runs. But I would just much rather use him in transition as a drag screen type guy or at the top of the key and leave that spot vacant, because I think it opens up rebounding lanes for him, but also just cutting lanes. And I just don't have a lot of faith in him as kind of a rim running post up player. So he didn't play a lot of minutes in this one. And I think for a good cause, he wasn't effective in that first stretch, although I do kind of sympathize with him because it's got to be tough a game like this and not getting a whole lot. I thought the Nuggets were propped up in that first half by some lucky shots. The writing was on the wall for me in the first half. I thought after at halftime the Nuggets had no shot in that second half, unless you know, some kind of major adjustments were made, which I didn't anticipate. But I thought they were propped up in that first half by Millsap going three of four from the 3-point line. Jokic hits a corner three. Wilson had a couple shots going. I thought, oh man, the Nuggets are down five, but they probably should be down about 15 just if those things don't happen, or if they happen at an average rate. And then it turns out I was right in the second half. Just one assist in the second half for the Denver Nuggets. It's painful for me. A guy that really enjoys, you know, obviously Nikola Jokic. Everybody knows I'm a huge Nikola Jokic fan. And the style of offense that the Nuggets had cultivated last year, it pains me to see a team like that go through games like this. And far too frequently, where just one assist in the second half, 2 of 20 from behind the 3-point line. I think those two things kind of play hand in hand quite a bit. But it just pains me to see this offense come this much to a halt. I really don't think, like, it's amazing to see a team that was the best half court or second best half court executing offense turn into a team that just cannot get points. And 82 points in a game. This is the fifth game of the year that the Nuggets have failed to score 100 points. It only happened 13 times all of last year. And I think it only happened like 7 times after December 15th. Nuggets already 5 times in this short stretch. And, you know, we can't be as optimistic as we were yesterday and move all the way to complete pessimism. But I think the one thing that has been constant, at least for me with my analysis, is that the half court offense is alarmingly bad. The Orlando game, it looked like maybe they turned a corner. But again, I preface this by saying, you know, second night of a back to back for Orlando, who's not a good defensive team. And they switched everything, which I thought really played into Denver's hands quite a bit, especially with the way Vucevic was defending. But that's the one constant. There's positives and negatives and kind of ebbs and flow of the season so far. But the one constant has been that outside of the Toronto game and Orlando game, Denver's half-court offense has not been great. Brooklyn, Jokic goes for a career high. OKC, the offense struggled. So, you know, there's kind of been some masking, I think, of what's going on with this half-court offense. But they just can't get it done right now. And they're not. And nights like tonight, it doesn't look like they're all that close. So 82 points. Should be concerning, I think, for all Nuggets fans and Nuggets, you know, personnel. And here's really, I'll end with this because this is what I think is the most important of my notes here, is that I thought Portland did a few things that not exposed Denver, like Denver can't overcome this, but that Denver can't overcome it right now because this is how you beat the Denver Nuggets given the style of play that they're playing right now in the half court. And that is first of all to make it a half court game. I thought they did a very good job of slowing the pace down. They play at a slow pace. They don't get out in transition a lot, so they kind of slow the game down and just kind of naturally. But also they can you know, they kept Denver from really getting out on the break for the most part, and they kept them off of the glass for the most part. Denver did end up kind of getting some plays there, but it wasn't like where they can kind of get their whole offense rolling. It was just kind of like spotty here and there. Denver would grab an offensive board, nothing to like really build momentum off of. And then the other thing that they did, I alluded to it a little bit earlier, but Nurkic really got into Nikola Jokic. And here's where I want to explain something. People always talk about our teams guarding Jokic differently, or maybe they're playing the pass lanes. I say, no, they're not. What I see, and actually Jokic has said as much, everybody's playing him the exact same thing. And then I've heard people say, oh, no, what you do is you sag off and you play the passing lanes, and now there's no passing lanes. And I think it's absolutely ridiculous. In fact, I don't even think this is an opinion. I actually think this is a basketball fact. The way to disrupt Nikola Jokic, in my opinion, or the best way to defend him is to pressure him, especially to pressure him with physicality, which Nurkic, I thought, did a very good job of kind of keeping hands on Jokic at the perimeter but not fouling and kind of keeping him off balance. And I'll be honest, for whatever reason tonight, Nikola Jokic, similar to the game last year, I thought Jokic looked really, really nervous tonight and looked very, very uncomfortable, and maybe he doesn't really care for playing up against Jusuf Nurkic. Maybe he gets nervous playing against him, or you know, it's something to kind of track with him. But I thought he looked very passive and uncomfortable for most of the night. But the reason I say that it works for the style the Nuggets are playing right now, not that there's like not a counter for Denver, is you know, you're pressuring him, but there's not a lot of spacing behind him, and there's not a lot of movement. The Nuggets offense isn't flowing the way it's supposed to. Now, if teams are going to play him, play Jokic specifically like that, it's actually perfect for a high motion offense. There's a counter. This is why I say that there's not a way the defense can adjust to start, you know, take away this type of things Nikola Jokic does, because there's always a counter. The problem is you've got to have proper spacing and you have to have well-timed and executed actions. If Nurkic is chest-to-chest with Jokic out up at, say, a step inside the three-point line, and Jokic dribbles over or stands even stationary into a dribble handoff, which I guess would be like a non-dribble handoff, just a stationary handoff, if Nurkic does not move off of the spot there, then the player, say Gary Harris, Jamal Murray, Will Barton, whoever, curls around, and that's just a wide open. It's impossible for the defender guarding the person receiving the handoff to be able to take that. And if Nurkic is going to be chest to chest, he's not in position to show off. So there's always a counter. This is what I like about the DHO so much, when you're able to space properly. The problem is Denver is not running this offense like they were last year. They're not even anywhere close to it. They're so far away from it. So when a team does do this and they are able to pressure, you know, Jokic isn't able to kind of sit there in the pocket and like throw these pocket passes like a quarterback. Instead, now you just have him getting pressure and have nowhere to go with it. So I think it exposed a little bit of Denver had been bad in the half court all year, but it really made them look even worse than usual. And I think that was a big reason why. And it just is indicative of how far Denver is from kind of getting to a really good offensive rhythm. So I thought those things were the biggest things going for the Nuggets right now, or going against the Nuggets right now. It's nice that they get back to Denver. They're probably getting back. I'm recording this at 1 a.m. They're probably getting back pretty shortly. And then they got 2 days to get in the gym and get some practice, maybe get Wancho back and get him some practice minutes and get some rest. And I think the Nuggets, it's much needed, because right now some of the practice stuff on the offensive end is what's really needed. I think that this has nothing to do with the defense. In fact, if I was the Nuggets coaching staff, and this is always like the craziest thing to say because I know those guys are a lot smarter than I am, but from my perspective, if I was the Nuggets coaching staff, I would be solely focused on the offense and how we can start spacing the floor better, getting the ball moving better, and not having 82-point games with one assist in an entire half. That would be my main focus, because I think the defense is in a good spot right now, but they're so far behind the eight ball with the way that the offense is playing. Lastly, it's interesting. RPM came out. RPM's my favorite single catch-all metric, and I think all catch-all metrics are very, very flawed, so they should all be taken with an enormous grain of salt. But RPM is my favorite, and I'll tell you why. Nobody knows what the formula is for it, so there's kind of so I have no idea how it's calculated. It is allegedly supposed to adjust for who's on the court with you, and you know, there's a lot that goes into it. The reason I like it quite frankly is because the players that rank fairly highly in it, whether they are star players or role players, it matches my own eye test. So this is probably the worst reason to like a stat. This is like the opposite of doing analytics, but I happen to look at it and I see players on there that I think are really, really good players, and they always rank really highly in this. So I like to think that the stat is capturing some of the things that I really enjoy about, or not enjoy, but things that I value about basketball. So anyway, that's a long way of saying they came out and Nikola Jokic is, surprise, surprise, ranked fourth overall in the entire NBA, behind James Harden, DeMarcus Cousins, Steph Curry, and even more interesting enough, he's there because of a nice balance. He ranks 10th in offensive RPM, and he ranks 6th in defensive RPM. And I've been talking about how I think Jokic has been a really fantastic defender, especially over the last couple ones. So something to kind of keep an eye on, as well as, you know, the Nuggets' two point guards rank pretty poorly in the metric, especially Emmanuel Mudiay, who, again, I think he does a lot of things on a court that really hurt you. So hopefully, again, we can't be too positive a day ago and then negative, you know, after one game, albeit one that I think carries a little bit more weight, certainly for fans. I think for the players too, but certainly for fans, they want this cathartic moment of kind of taking it to Jusuf Nurkić. But unfortunately, two times now, he's really taken it to the Denver Nuggets. So we'll see what happens. It's an interesting week ahead. They've got an important game against the Pelicans coming up. But on this one, it's certainly going to leave a bad taste in all Nuggets fans' mouths for a couple days. Thanks so much for tuning in, guys. Don't forget to rate the show on iTunes and share it. Share it with a friend if you haven't. Give it a retweet or a Facebook. What is it? Facebook share. It's always greatly appreciated. Thanks so much. I'll be back again tomorrow.